This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. That's just a clip from the album Moonblood by the band Fraction, sort of Christian rock meets Black Sabbath circa 1971. There were, blessedly, only 200 copies of the album, making it an extremely rare find for record junkies. But it's on Spotify and just one of a growing list of strange records available on the streaming service as chosen by Rob Fitzpatrick. He's a music journalist who's landed the plum job of browse editor at Spotify and has produced a series for The Guardian called 101 Strangest Records on Spotify. And he's our good gig guest for today. Rob Fitzpatrick, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so glad you're here, and we should note that you're in a busy office right now. So.
I am. It's a thrumming newsroom.
Well, let me ask you, what is a browse editor at Spotify anyway? What does that mean?
Well, it's a bit of a, it sounds like a made-up job title, doesn't it? Well, basically what it is that when you land on Spotify, what you will be presented with is a series of playlists and ideas for playlists and things like that. And there are various browsers. I mean, I'm the browse editor for UK and Ireland, Australia and New Zealand. And there are, you know, the browse editors in Canada and in North America and Brazil and all over the place. And they're basically, it's people whose job it is to localize our playlists and the music that you see and to develop kind of new playlists and new ideas and new ways of surfacing great music.
So what got you started on finding and compiling these strange records?
Well, my background is kind of music journalism. And also, you know, the first job I ever had was working in a record shop. And the thing that drew me to Spotify was just the sheer weight of music there. And I am one of those people that spent a fair proportion of their 20s rooting around in record shop basements, you know, literally digging in the crates.
I know. I've met you before then, Rob. Yeah. I know your type.
You know my type. So, and you know, what could be nicer than to dig in digital crates? Trying to map out the kind of where the edges of this amazing world of music are. And I'm not even close to finding the edges yet, which is the thing that excites me on a daily basis.
Well, how did you come upon Fraction's freaky record, Moonblood?
I'll tell you what, okay, one of my secret ways of finding things, and this is one of my biggest joys in life, is thinking of an album that you really love, and then go to Google Books, and in Google Books, search Billboard and the name of that album that you really love, and it will pull up an issue of Billboard from the week that record came out. And then it's a joy to just go through that issue of Billboard from 1971 or 1968 or, you know, whenever. We've come to a point in music history where a lot of the rough edges have been smoothed off, and it's, you know, Elvis goes into the Beatles, goes into the Rolling Stones, goes into the Who, goes into, you know, everything. What I'm trying to do is find out where these other things that we've forgotten about fit in.
Let's look at some of the criteria for you. Is it just, you know, it's just the music? Is it obscurity? Backstory? I mean, I look at the cover art of some of the 101 that you've posted. It can be amazing.
Yeah.
Or
in the
case of the Pentecostal minister Aubrey Gantt, the title, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus.
Yeah. you know, you look at the title, it sounds brilliant. He looks brilliant. And then you just listen to it. I don't want it to be difficult. I'm not interested in something that just batters you over the head for 45 minutes. I want something where there's some joy in it and some life in it, but also people who are taking a bit of a risk or a bit of a chance, or just something that gives you something that you didn't know you were looking for.
Well, let's hear just a little bit from Aubrey Gantt's record, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. There we go, Building Fire with Aubrey Gantt.
Yeah. There's a version of Amazing Grace on there, which is unbelievable. And I think that's, you know, you think there's not much juice left to wring from Amazing Grace unless your Aubrey Gent.
Our good gig guest today is Rob Fitzpatrick. He's a longtime music journalist who has the improbable and not so easy to explain job of browse editor at Spotify, the streaming music service. He's well into a series for The Guardian that's called The 101 Strangest Records on Spotify. And let me tell you, he's not kidding. I want to go further with this, and I don't want to stay on the gospel tip because I know that you've done punk, prog rock, psychedelic, you know, at least one album made of long periods of near silence. But I really wanted to share Paradise Island from the Blackwood Brothers.
Oh, this is, I love this record.
Well, this is the title track. First, what can you tell us about it?
Okay, this record, it was made in 1959, and the Blackwood Brothers were one of probably the biggest gospel, you know, white gospel group of the time. And I just love this idea that they're probably making two or three albums a year. And so at some point they go, you know, well, okay, what are we going to do this month, you know? Someone, you imagine this conversation that someone along the line goes, well, there's this boom in, you know, Hawaiian music. And, you know, you've got people like Martin Denny and Chano and, you know, Les Baxter and people making what isn't what we now think of as exotica. So say, well, let's put those two things together. And if ever there were two things that you kind of probably thought would never go together, it's fairly strict religious gospel music and, you know, cocktail sipping, wave lapping exotica. And yet they went together, and my God, what a great record.
Well, let's hear the title track, Paradise Island. I just love this concept of, you know, heaven is like being in a Hawaiian island where the sun never sets.
It sounds almost like a parody.
Yeah.
It's like a postmodern parody, but actually it's completely straight-faced and real.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that because this does fit into this whole ironic, even camp, you know, look at the corny stuff that used to be made in the past. I mean, how about you? Do you listen to them again and again, or is it purely for novelty?
There's a few of these that I have gone, you know, I'm pointing the finger and going, isn't this ridiculous? But I'm at the heart of all of them is there's a joy that it was being made. The truth of the matter is, you could take away sort of 95% of the recorded music ever made and we'd be none the worse off, you know, because it's fairly bog standard and of a type. And I think what I'm trying to do here is to highlight the things that have slipped away alongside somewhere but are really worthy of more of thought and care.
Well, you're working for Spotify. You know, this is a streaming service that makes this music available to everybody who wants to, you know, sign on to Spotify, but has also been criticized by artists, especially for not paying enough for their records. So you're part of, you know, a system, a music industry arm that in some ways does not encourage people to make more records. I mean, what do you think of that? You're sort of plucking these gems from history that never would be made today, or would they?
Well, I would say two things to that. One is that the current music scene is one of the most vibrant and interesting. I mean, I've been working in music for 25 years, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, Spotify have paid £1 billion to rights holders over the last few years, and that's often with these records, the ones that you're looking at here, often the only way you would be able to hear them would be to either pay a collector an awful lot of money, which would trickle down to absolutely zero going to the person who made the music, or potentially you could listen to it on you know, a different video streaming service who would pay them probably less, or you could buy a CD which may not get them anything. The whole thing of this for me is that anybody who clicks on this music and listens to this music, this will generate an income for whoever owns the rights to this.
Is there one strangest of all time album that you found on Spotify thus far?
There's a few that I really, really love. One of the ones I feel most fond of is by a woman called Kay Gardner, and she was a real kind of a pioneer in what became known as kind of healing music, and it's sort of, it's kind of yogic and healing, and it's this really, really amazing record, which is called Moon Circles. Often what attracts me to these things is you think no one will ever make a record like that ever again.
Hmm.
You know, we're not capable of being that, it's wrong to say they're innocent, but that kind of, that open and that uncynical about almost anything, you know.
What do you think, Rob? Have you got the greatest gig?
It's a pretty good gig, isn't it?
It's yeah, enviable.
I do sometimes think, wow, that's quite nice, isn't it?
Well, Rob Fitzpatrick, what a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
It's a pleasure speaking with you too. Thank you very much.
Rob Fitzpatrick is a music journalist with the enviable job of browse editor at Spotify. There's a link to his series, The 101 Strangest Records on Spotify. You'll find the link on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. When we return, we're going to hear directly from one of the stranger artists on Spotify and how he's managed to make a living by gaming Spotify's payment system. That's after a short break.